Welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast, where we talk to C-level leaders from across the payments landscape. We'll be discussing the products and services that impact the payment space today, as well as trends and predictions for the future of payments. We will also hear stories from our guests about their journeys to the top.
My partner, Dan Percy, and I, we were sitting there in a meeting one day, and we was like, you know, we got to come up with something that says something that says who we are. So it's gruption. And it's good disruption. So we made it into a word. And so we're going to be patenting that word here real soon. What we are seeing, we want to create some gruption within the industry.
That was Quincy McKnight, CEO and founder of Covenant Pay Partners. And he is our special guest this week. This is episode 88 of the Leaders in Payments podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Myers. And hey, before we get started, if you happen to office in Houston, Austin, or North Texas, check out Fuse Workspace, where their mission is to help others do more. Check them out at fuseworkspace.com. Okay, back to the show. Quincy grew up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, went to Middle Tennessee State, and now lives in Nashville, Tennessee. In 2018, Quincy rebranded QPay into Covenant Pay Partners and refocused the company. Their current top verticals are transportation, retail restaurants, B2B, education, and municipalities. By next year, they plan to be processing $1 billion in volume. In addition to Covenant Pay Partners, Quincy has a personal passion for politics and will actually be running for Congress in the state of Tennessee. We've got a great episode today, so let's get started. Hi, Quincy. Thank you for being here and welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast.
Thank you for having me today, Greg.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up, where you went to school, where you currently live, a few things like that.
Sure. Again, Quincy McKnight, Nashville, Tennessee, the greatest city in the world right now, and grew up right here in Middle Tennessee, a little 30 minutes south of Nashville, a place called Murfreesboro. Went to school there at Middle Tennessee State, and then just growing and learning at the same time here. You know, I'm a hometown boy.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your company, Covenant Pay Partners. So tell the audience a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, Covenant Pay Partners. I'm a 20-year veteran in the payments industry. And so we rebranded a company called QPay. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it from 2012. Rebranded in 2018 to Covenant Pay Partners. And everything from there, we strategically went after, changed our business model up to types of businesses that we were going after in order to gain much more valuable processes with our banks.
Okay. And what kind of industries do you target?
Right now, we are targeting our top five industries right now is transportation, retail, restaurants. We have a lot of B2B clients, virtual terminal type clients that we are servicing right now, and education and municipalities. Those are our top ones that we are servicing currently.
Okay. And you said you kind of switched to those from others. What was sort of behind that process?
Yeah. So QPay was designed for a B2B high-risk industry. So we were heavy in the timeshare advocacy space. So we were actually one of the best at what we were doing. And so our banks that were help underwriting a lot of our stuff just got too heavy and too many chargebacks, too much risk that we was taking on. So we sold the portfolio and decided to go another direction and kind of literally restart the engine on a brand new car. So,
and how has the last, say, 15 months during the pandemic, how has it affected your business?
It actually has increased our business. And I'm thinking from what I could tell in the industry and talking to other industry leaders, their businesses have increased during this time as well. Because I think last year, McKinney had reported that the electronic payments volume was expected to grow about 7% annually over the next 5 years. So I'm seeing that we are definitely a recipient of that growth model based on what they researched and came back with. So we have seen more growth than ever, and we're just very blessed to be in the position of where we're at right now.
How big is the company?
Well, right now we are approaching close to 15 employees. So we are steady growing. We have a very good portfolio of clients that we service right now in those top industries that we had already mentioned. And so the growth model right now is the upside is very good for us. We're actually looking sometime next year, we hope to be near $1 billion a year in processing. based on our existing numbers.
Okay. And is it a mixture of card present and card not present?
It is. It is. Some tons of retail, walk-in places. We've got several people that are B2B. And then we also are entertaining some other avenues, other industries that are going to help us achieve that $1 billion mark between now and this time next year. So it's very promising.
Okay. And what would you say differentiates your company from the competitors out there?
I would probably say our customer service more than anything. We're a very transparent company. We're a minority-owned business that's here in Nashville. And we've got over 80 plus years of executive leadership within our company. So we know a little bit of thing too about treating the clients right and making sure that we're accessible to them whenever they need us. Because as you know, the large top competitors in the world, we don't have to name them. Everybody knows who they are. They don't provide you with a customer service number. And so we're one of the companies that actually you call us, we'll answer. And if we don't answer, we'll call you right back. And how we are right now, our expansion, where we are, we have experienced some wonderful, wonderful growth into Atlanta all the way to Birmingham right now. And we're just really focused on our growth through our acquisitions, internal developments, and also our community support that has really been a big win-win for us here.
And do you sell through direct channels or do you have partners or a little bit of both?
No, we have a direct channel and we do both. That's a good question. We have both and we actually are looking to become a PayFac over the next 6 months. So we're headed in a positive direction toward those goals of where we're initially are going to end up at. So we're looking at it like with the growth of the industry and the growth of the business here at Covenant, we are looking and trying to stay ahead of the game, not just trying to compete with it, but we actually want to stay ahead of the market is saying. And that's one of the things that our clients have appreciated about us.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good segue into the next question. Let's talk about the payments industry from a broader perspective. Where do you think it's headed, say, in the next 2 to 3 years? What are the trends? What are we going to see in the next couple of years?
Well, here at Covenant, we created a word, and my partner, Dan Percy, and I, we were sitting there in a meeting one day, and we was like, you know, we got to come up with something that says something that says who we are. So it's gruption, and it's good disruption. So we made it into a word. And so we're going to be patenting that word here real soon.
I love it.
Yeah. So what we are seeing, we want to create some gruption within the industry because like never before, our payments industry has seen dramatic change. So between the innovation in payment technologies to the changes of merchant facing functions, everything has changed. And this pandemic has been the reason for that, of course. So where I see the payments industry headed is, you know, it's going to be an extreme digital payments age like never before. I think a lot of people that are used to the mom and pop way of doing business, those days are pretty much they're outnumbered. And it's going to be up to companies like ourselves and the professionals in this industry to educate our merchants on next steps and how to prepare those baby boomers that own these mom and pop stores to the future of digital processing, even from the standpoint of crypto processing, which is another area we're headed down as well. So we're going to have to make sure that our clients understand that. And we just understand that over the next decade, technology will drive evolution in merchant payments. So, and scaling is going to be so critical and key. And that's one of the things I'm proud of here, that we've got the experience on the inside to know how to scale for the small and medium sized merchants out here in America. So that we represent. So yeah, we are just there at this point of staying ahead of the game just by having our infrastructure prepared and then also having our clients prepared, because definitely you don't want your clients to have any surprises over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. So talk maybe a little bit about how do you keep them educated? How do you communicate with your clients? I know reaching small business owners is a challenge. I mean, it always has been to get their time and attention. So is it really just you build that relationship and you're able to communicate with them? Sort of maybe talk about that process a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the things that we drive is part of our mission here at Covenant, man. So most businesses, they don't get the full benefits of a modern payments platform. So we have made sure that on our gateway, for example, that creating the right programs and the right partnerships, we give visibility, we give the control, and we give the efficiency, which is the three elements of our business. We give that back to our merchant partners and also to our referral agents that are out here in the open market. So the biggest thing is that we want to make sure that they improve their management of their capital in and out. So again, the visibility, the control, their efficiency, that's where we put our focus in.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about you. So tell us about your journey and your role as the CEO and founder there. I know you talked a little bit about QPay, but maybe go back to some of your earlier days and talk about how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, well, technically I started with the RBS days. If you guys remember anything about RBS.
Sure.
And folded over into WorldPay. I was with WorldPay for several years, still based here in Tennessee. So it bled over into QPay. Back then, you know, I was still seeing some of the knuckle busters that people were still using back then when I got in 2004. So I definitely have seen a change in the digital payment space since we began. But I, again, jumped into WorldPay, went from WorldPay to QPay, and now I'm at Covenant Pay. So it's kind of keeping the Patreon alive here, man. And it's really, Greg, it's all about being able to see the value in yourself as a leader, payments leader, and executing on those values that you stand on as a business owner. So the things I've learned over the years, I mean, I have had some wonderful, wonderful mentors in this industry that taught me the business in and out, from the inside, from the outside, from the money, of everything, and even dealing with the clients. So I've learned a thing or two, and now we're taking all the things and the experiences that we all have learned collectively, and we're putting them to use here. So I value my time with my clients. I do. I value the building of relationships, because one of the early on mistakes that I was not capitalizing on, Greg, was trying to match up my network to my net worth. It seems like I knew everybody in the world about trying to go out and get business, but I wasn't capitalizing on the opportunities the way I should have been doing it early on. So now that I've learned that, the experience behind that and what it takes to get there, that means the world to me. And that's what I value the most, are my relationships, because a lot of my relationships have turned into friendships over the course of time. So that's one thing we value here, is we try to make sure that our relationships turn into friendships, because that's where full transparency can come in and loyalty can kick in. So it doesn't matter if your competition tries to come behind you or not, they're going to let you know, hey, I've got so-and-so trying to get our business over here. They've always done the right thing by letting me know that, hey, and so, but normally they don't end up going anywhere. So we try to take care of our clients, man.
Yeah. Sounds like it. So when you left WorldPay, is that you were a founder of QPay?
Yes.
So yeah. What sort of made that decision?
Well, because I saw the money that I was getting, the commission structure. You know, anytime you work for a top corporation, you're not going to get paid your worth, and not even on the commissionable scale side. So I decided to just jump out there. I took the risk, had the faith to do it, and jumped out there and just went full forward on following my vision of, this is how I want a payments processing company set up for now, based on my experience and what I knew. I had the opportunity with the high risk space, because for some reason, that's what I was attracting during that time. So I took advantage of it, and it got to a place where, well, we had created our own back end gateway. Brought a very dear friend in that's very much smarter than me to create IT solutions on the back end. And that's exactly what we did. And we created that and partnered with a few law firms to get a lot of the high risk business space. So it took us to a place of where the profits were very well received. So, but again, it's risk involved when you're doing the high risk space, because it's literally a babysitting job from the time you start with them to the time you have to close their accounts. And that's one thing I just got tired of, was the opening and closing accounts. And then you got to turn around and find them a new home, a new processing home, a new bank that would take them. So I just got tired of going back and forth. So I wanted a more stable market to go after.
Yeah. And when you converted over to the Covenant Pay model, are you still the sole founder or do you have a partner in the business?
Yes, I'm sole founder, majority owner. Again, we're an MBE company. So, but Dan Percy, I brought him in as president to run the day-to-day operations infrastructure. Dan came from Change Healthcare on the payment sector because one of our future goals here is to start servicing the healthcare payments market as well over the next, hopefully, 8 months. We're projected out. So I am fully sole owner of the company, but my partner here, he's doing a wonderful job of managing everything day-to-day infrastructure-wise.
Okay. What is something that you're passionate about? Maybe pick one thing personal and one thing business-related.
One thing personal is politics. I love politics. I know it's a sketchy subject to some, and some hate politics, but I love it because it just drives me to talk about what's right and what's wrong and what makes sense. So I love having those types of conversations because I've got political aspirations myself. So that's why I'm saying politics, because it's in my blood, man. It's in my heart to do. So then probably business wise, I am passionate about taking ideas and taking them to market. So it's kind of like I'm a visionary. So once I see these opportunities, I go for it. And if I don't have the answers, I'll go get the people who do have the answers that can help facilitate the vision and carry it out. Because I'm a believer in, if you don't share your vision with your team, then you're going to crash and burn. It's going to be null and void. So, because winning is not by yourself, as we all know. So I have a wonderful team that I love sharing these ideas with and coming up with new innovations of partnering with the right companies. So that's what excites me.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, okay, I've done 84 or 5 of these. You're the first person who has a passion around politics. So I can't not ask some further questions about that. What you said, it's kind of in your blood. Was there a parent that was in politics? Was there a reason that it became so important to you?
Well, yeah, because I grew up in the foster care system. So as a foster kid, man, you see things on TV. You have visions, you have dreams. And I was one of those kids who was a big dreamer. That's what I was called as a kid. And so a lot of my foster, they would always call me a big dreamer. You're not going to have this. You're not going to have that. So coming up, hearing that in the foster care system and then getting adopted into a very conservative family that took care of me and were able to, and I was so blessed to get adopted by them because I was able to carry out those dreams. And so I got into a family that was locally involved in politics, and it just really took off from there. And I got involved by volunteering on certain campaigns and things like that. So, which also it's almost politics and business is almost mixing. I know people say you got to walk a fine line with that stuff, but I've learned to balance it pretty well. So when I was a kid, I would always have a dream that I would be in Congress. I always saw myself trying to get to Congress. Yes, I know. It's like, why in the world? I mean, other things you could have been. But
so some people want to be a professional athlete. You yeah. want to be a politician. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and leadership, and that's what I'm saying. It's like once that leadership bug is in you, I don't care what you do. You can try to run from it, but eventually it's going to catch up with you and you're going to have to carry your vision out, because if not, somebody else would take your opportunity. So I loved capitalizing on opportunities. And that's where politics have led me to this point.
Okay. And you mentioned you have some political aspirations. Is there anything that you can or want to share about that?
Sure. I don't mind it. It's kind of out already in a way. But I will be running for Congress for the next term cycle for Tennessee here. So that will technically be announced on May 13th, which is following Thursday from this week. So we are heavily prepared and ready to go between business and politics here. It's, as I said earlier, it's a balancing act here. And that's why I have to have a great team that can carry out the business as well as while I'm on the campaign trail. So
Sure. Well, that's got to be exciting for you. So I wish you the best of luck there. One final question. I ask this to everyone because I think people's experiences, because of their experiences, I get a lot of different answers. But, you know, I started in payments a little bit after you, 2006. And back then, at least I didn't look at payments as a career. I just sort of fell into it, right?
But I think most of us did.
but over time, it's changed, right? I mean, with all the money that's been invested in this industry, and then, you know, the word fintech didn't even exist back then, but now you have fintech and it's become so popular and kids are taking fintech courses in college. So the question is, you've got a kid coming out of school and they're looking at the payments or fintech industry to build a career. What would your advice to them be to help them be successful?
I would almost start at the bottom, just to be frank with you, and see the nuts and bolts behind everything. Because I remember coming into this industry, it was very difficult for me to understand how the money worked and also how the processing, the flow of the payments were. So getting the right proper training with an organization that can actually train you about this industry so you can understand it, because it's no way you can learn this industry overnight, not even over 3 months. So I would tell anyone that's coming into the industry or coming graduating college and looking to have the flexibility and the freedom that this industry gives you, I would literally tell them to start at the bottom and learn your way up and get into some type of internship or getting to some mid-management level role where you can shadow a lot of the successful managers that actually can prove their sales, prove their worth. Because one thing you don't want to do is get behind somebody that's negative and that's doesn't like the company that they work for. So get with, and that's, again, that's part of leadership, of you seeing that and being able to point that out and put those type of people with those, the individuals that are successful, and let them kind of shadow them for a certain time period. So that's what I would say to them, because it's a great rewarding industry. There are people that we've had sales reps that have lasted 3 months and they're gone because they expected these $10,000 residual checks every month, first 3 months of the business. Does it happen? Yeah, it does happen, but that's few far in between when it does. So understanding that, seeing where this industry is going and understanding the industry of where it's come from, a person has to be able to communicate that properly to the clients nowadays, because more clients now are getting more, they're asking more questions, and you got to be able to give answers to those questions, because a lot of the times you'd be surprised the clients know more than you. They're just asking you questions to see how well do you know your industry and how well you know your role. So that's what I would suggest to them, to any person that's coming out of college that is looking at this industry heavy. I just had a conversation the other day with someone, and they were asking about the future of payments, and they were thinking of getting into this industry, and they want to focus on large merchants. And I told them, I said, well, if that's what your focus is going to be, you need to understand everything about cloud-based POS solutions out there on the open market, because everything will be headed in that direction for large corporations. They're looking to integrate all these types of solutions and enterprise technologies that are available out there. So that person has to understand every single thing about it. So that's just where I feel passionate about pushing them to.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Well, Quincy, we've covered a lot of ground. We've covered things about you and your company and the industry as a whole. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we wrap up?
No, I'm just excited about the fact that we are headed into a uncharted territory in the digital space. And I think every payment leader out here that's listening to this podcast and that follows you guys and follows the industry trends, let's keep our good name out there for ourselves. Let's keep the industry respected and let's keep it well protected, because we're a very trusted partner to a lot of our merchant clients out here. So I would just say keep the respect and trustworthiness up.
Yeah, well, I would agree 100% with that. Well, Quincy, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know your time is very valuable. So again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Greg.
And to all you listeners out there, I thank you for your time as well. And until the next story.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Leaders in Payments podcast. Make sure you visit our website at leadersinpayments.com, where you can subscribe to the show and where you'll find our show notes. If you enjoyed listening, please share on your social channels as well.